Damn it. Alice cursed as she stared at her useless phone. No signal and no spare in the rental. Shaping up to be a fantastic night. At the close of her third day on the road, all she wanted was a hot meal, a stationary bed, but both looked unlikely at the moment. The signs of life behind her had faded about 20 miles back, so she grabbed her bag and pressed onwards. As the moon rose to split the gloom of the trees, the night took on a surreal edge, and she felt her ire evaporate. If a wishing well and a wicked witch suddenly appeared on the other side of the guardrail, she would not have been the least bit surprised, and she wondered at the feeling as she strode deeper into the night. She had barely walked 5 minutes when she heard the growl of an engine. Seconds later, a white Volkswagen Rabbit with gold racing stripes pulled onto the shoulder a fair distance ahead of her. The driver took his time getting out of the car, no doubt trying not to spook her, but she was too tired for pleasantries and kept her pace sped steady. He smiled broadly as she approached and inclined his head in a brief imitation of a bow. His courtly manner at odds with his tattered denim and teardrop tattoos. She stopped at twice his arm's reach and returned the gesture but said nothing, just stared expectantly at him. "I assume that is your vehicle," I passed half a mile back. She repeated the gesture of acknowledgement, but again said nothing, and continued to stare expectantly at him. Unruffled by her silence, he continued in a conversational tone. "This dead zone continues for about 15 miles in every direction. I'm headed to work at a tavern about a mile from here. It's not fancy, but there's food and a landline if you're interested." She inclined her head for the third time, and a bargain was struck. He grinned and reclaimed his seat as she approached boldly to keep his fear at bay. As she slid into the passenger door and buckled her seatbelt, she managed not to shake, but just. The car leaped to life in a shower of gravel and set her heart racing. She felt her stomach drop as they became weightless and her heart stopped her lungs. In the instant, she could only accept her lack of options, could only recognize the limits of her control. As she accepted both, she felt her adrenaline surge in response to her terror and closed her eyes and let the moment take her. They had barely reached cruising speed when they rounded a bend and the trees receded, the smudge of red and purple neon resolving into a garish top hat. They drove through the parking lot and onto the gravel path around the back of the building, parking next to a large metal door, propped open with folding chair, stacked with cases of empty bottles. As her guide exchanged hushed words with the skinny kid stacking more cases in the back of the pickup, she examined the sign next to the door that was doubtlessly useful to someone at some time, but had been worn away in the ensuing years. She could make no guess to its original intent, but the letters that remained had been painted over in red. WONDERLAND. She was still marvelling at it when her guide gestured curtly and led her over to the threshold. Chairs were stacked on the right of the corridor continued ahead, the way blocked by the open door of the walk-in refrigerator. They paused as a man exited the fridge, 3 cases of beer stacked in his arms and a bowler perched on his head. At first it seemed ridiculous, and Alice almost laughed out of sheer nerves. But then she fixed on her with a predator's focus, his body going still. She struggled not to fidget as his eyes roamed over her body before fastening on her face. For a moment, no one said anything. When he finally spoke, it was to her guide, though his eyes never left hers. "A gift, Thumper?" he answered. "It's not even my birthday." "I know how you feel about unbirthdays, Mad Dog," her guide stammered as he explained what had occurred. The departure of his self-assured manner gave her pause, and she felt the heat rising in her face as his employer continued his obvious appraisal. as little as she liked being spoken about as if she were not present, she considered the precariousness of her position, and bit down on an angry retort. Mad Dog made no attempt to hide his amusement at the consternation played across her face. It was so much more fun, knowing she was smart enough to recognise her lack of options. He set the cases on an empty keg with a gesture to Thumper, kicked the fridge door closed, and led the way down the hall. He pushed through a swinging door and stepped just far enough to the side to allow her to squeeze past him. As she did so, he leaned in and scented her hair. He could almost feel the shiver that passed through her, but she gave no other sign of being uncomfortable, and his cock throbbed in response. He followed her through the door, his eyes glued to her arse as he imagined all the things she was going to do to her before he broke her. Before she begged him to break her, he corrected himself. She froze as she exited the second door and found every set of eyes in the most empty bar upon her. Mad Dog took the opportunity to press up behind her, grinding his growing erection into her arse as his arms snaked around her waist. To steady her, of course. Her body tensed, and for the barest instant he was sure she arched back into him. He made to pull her tighter against him, but she slipped out of his grip, under the let-out and beyond his reach. She would beg. She kept her head up and her eyes to herself as she walked the length of the bar, taking a seat on an empty stool within easy reach of the front door. Having the width of the bar between them seemed to give her confidence. Your employee said you had a landline. It wasn't a question. Oh yes, she would definitely beg. In the office, you're welcome to use it after we get you something to eat. Smiled and passed her the menu to put her at ease. It didn't seem to be working, but she wasn't exactly swimming in options. I promise, I'll have you on your way in no time. She studied his face for a moment before ordering the special without a glance at the menu, and again inquired about the phone. He kept his distance as he escorted her through the kitchen to his office and unlocked the door, then gave a bow as he backed away and departed. She closed and locked the door behind her. For several long moments she just stood there, leaning against the door and trying to control her racing thoughts. She had barely settled in behind the desk and reached for the phone when the lock rattled and the door swung inward. She snatched the stapler as she stood, regretting the decision to box herself in behind the desk. One bowl of chili, one side of cornbread and one tequila sunset, Thumper announced as he entered. If her admittedly ridiculous posture surprised him, his control was impeccable, his earlier confidence restored and bordering on unctuous. On the house, with Mad Dog's compliments. He placed the tray on the desk before her. Consider it an apology for earlier. He smiled more broadly, and Alice nodded even as she vowed not to touch any of it. She returned the stapler to whence it came, but remained standing until he left, and then immediately relocked the door and weighed the desk chair tightly beneath it. As secure as she could be given the circumstances, she dragged the phone to the edge of the desk and settled in on the couch to call the rental company. It took 3 tries for the call to go through, and then she was placed on hold by an automated attendant. She picked at the cornbread in frustration, though it wasn't until the room started to get fuzzy that she realised it. Later she heard the lock rattle again as the couch swallowed her, and the last thing she made out was Mad Dog staring down at her. "I don't think," she began. "Then you shouldn't talk," he replied, tracing a finger over her lips as the room